Okay, open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. I know all of you are familiar with the story of Jonah, so probably none of this is going to be new, but it's always good to... Peter one time told people, he said, part of my job is just to remind you of what the Lord has already said, so that's part of my job is just to remind you. So last week we did chapter 1 and left Jonah in the belly of a great fish. Don't know for sure if it was a whale or something else, but that's where he is. Verse 17 of chapter 1 says that he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. I've thought about this several times, and we've gone through the book of Jonah before. But can you imagine, of all the things, I'm sure it was dark. I'm sure it was cold, but can you imagine how it must have smelled inside the belly of that fish? Oh, my goodness. That probably would have never left my, you know, for the rest of my life, I'd have been able to smell that if I'd have been Jonah. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. If you remember in chapter 1, Jonah was pretty cavalier in his attitude toward God. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he said no. I mean, he intentionally tried to flee from the presence of God. And then you remember the storm came up, and Jonah was pretty sure it was because of him. And he said, well, just throw me over into the sea. No repentance, no prayer, nothing. So he was pretty cavalier in his attitude toward God. I don't know when the prayer of chapter 2, verse 1, I don't know when he prayed that. I don't know if it was the first day or the second day or the third day, but something changed. When it got really personal and really uncomfortable, the Bible says that Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. We say, and I believe it's true, we say you can pray anywhere, anytime. Well, if verse 1 of chapter 2 of Jonah doesn't prove that, I don't know what does. I can't imagine being in any worse place than in a fish's belly. And he prayed, and God heard his prayer. Verse 2, he says that he cried by reason of his affliction. Job obviously was in great distress. I don't know if he was in physical pain, but he was certainly in great distress. If he was calm and cavalier before, at least at this point, however long it's been, I think that certainly that cavalier attitude has left him and probably that calmness. He says, out of the belly of hell. Now, Jonah obviously didn't die and go to hell, and that's not where he's praying from. He's praying from the belly of the fish, the Bible tells us. He uses that expression to emphasize his terrible situation and how awful it is to him. And then he said, thou heardest my voice. Did you catch that? Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You may have said this. I think I've probably said this. We've said before, you know, I don't think my prayers are reaching any higher than the ceiling, right? I don't know who started that. Some guy a long time ago. I remember as a kid hearing people say that. That's not true. The prayers of the saints, the prayers of the righteous reach all the way to the throne of glory every time they're prayed. Because God is watching and God is listening, and out of the belly of this fish, Jonah prayed, and it reached the throne of glory, and God heard. Verse 3, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. For thou hadst. Jonah acknowledges that it's God who has done this. He's not blaming God for it, but he acknowledges God did this. This is God's discipline, or this is God's punishment, or however you want to say it, but certainly it is God that has done this. Verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yea, I will look again toward thy holy temple. You remember in In chapter 1, Jonah tried to flee from the presence of God. He wanted to be out of God's sight because he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Now, after some time in the fish's belly, he's afraid that he's accomplished that. He said, I am cast out of thy sight. He's not saying that literally happened. He's saying, I'm afraid I went too far. I'm afraid God can't see me. Maybe he was afraid God couldn't hear him, and that's why he was crying out in prayer. But he said, instead of now wanting to flee your presence, now I am looking toward your holy temple. I want you to see me. I want you to hear me. Turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, starting in verse 7. And listen to what the Bible says. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about thee. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So wherever I go, high or low, night or day, doesn't make any difference. We cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. And so Jonah, in the belly of the whale, I'm going to say whale because that's what I was taught when I was a kid, cries out to God, and God hears him and God sees him, and even there he can't escape God's presence. Verse 6. Listen to these verses. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. I always thought in times past that verse 6 was a reference to Jonah being in the fish, and the fish being deep. In the sea, the bottom of the mountains, and in my mind I even imagine, you know, the rib cage of that great fish as being the bars that was about him forever. I don't think that's right, because right after he says, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. It's already happened. Well, he prays this prayer in the belly of the fish. So I think maybe now in verse 6 he's referring to the depths of his sin before he came to be a follower of God, before he came to be a prophet of God. Like everybody else, Jonah lived in sin. And so I think he's simply referring to the depth of his sin, to the corruption of his sin. And then in verse 7, he says, verse 6 rather, he said, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, meaning the pit. He said, I was in the deepest, darkest place of sin, but you brought me out of that. He's still in the fish's belly when he says that. So I think he's probably referring to that. Then he said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. When I was down and lowly and sinful, I cried unto you, and you heard my prayer. And I think the idea is, and now I'm down again in this fish's belly, and I'm crying unto you, and I hope that you will hear my prayer. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Lying vanities are false gods, idols, worthless idols, and those people who worship them and pray to them and regard them are forsaking the mercy of God because they're not trusting in God. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I don't know what happened in Jonah's mind. I can't tell you everything that happened in his mind. I can tell you what the Bible has recorded that he said. But when we get to verse 9, I think he's at that point of, listen, I'll do what you want me to do if you'll just get me out of here. I think it's almost a foxhole confession, except he doesn't say, if you'll get me out of here. He says, okay, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll give you my voice. I will pay that I have vowed. I told you at one time in my life, I told you I would be obedient. I'm going to keep that vow, meaning if you want me to go to Nineveh, God, I'll go to Nineveh. And then he said, salvation is of the Lord. I think the idea is I'll do what you want me to do because the only way that I'm going to escape this situation is by the hand of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Boy, don't you think that was a mess? I mean, really. I can't remember who it was, but I think somebody one time was preaching this or teaching this, or, and you know, the whales, we always think it's a whale. The Bible says fish, and I think we talked about last week that it's not the Hebrew word for whale that is used. But you know, he said, you know, the whales have those blowholes on the top, and he said that fish just blew Jonah right up out of that blowhole onto the shore. You know, I don't think that's what happened. The Bible says the fish vomited out Jonah. I think he regurgitated Jonah right out onto the shore. He physically is unharmed. No broken bones, no, there's no damage. Maybe that's the right way I ought to say it to Jonah. But you know what? I think he looked different. For one thing, he smelled a lot different. For another thing, if you would think about this, he's been down there in this fish's belly for 3 days and three nights, and there are gastric juices in this fish's belly that's trying to digest the food that's in his stomach. And as far as the fish knows, Jonah is food. And I would just imagine that had some effect on his appearance. Some have suggested that probably it bleached out his skin. Jonah probably was dark-complected. And so they said it probably bleached out his skin. It may have caused his hair to turn white. May have caused his hair to fall out. I don't know. But I think it had some effect. Listen, he was in there subject to the effects of the digestive processes of this fish. And I think when he came out, I think he looked different. And he smelled different, and he probably burned his clothes and all that kind of stuff. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I said chapter 1 was running from God's will. Chapter 2 is submitting to God's will, maybe reluctantly, but doing it. Chapter 3, then, is fulfilling God's will. And here we go. The fish vomits Jonah up onto the dry land. Chapter 1 of chapter 3 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. God is merciful to Jonah. He was merciful when he allowed or caused the fish to swallow him. He was merciful when he spared Jonah in the belly of the fish. He was merciful when he had him vomit him out. He is merciful and gracious to Jonah in giving him another opportunity to do what God called him to do the first time. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. When we get to chapter 4, I think you'll understand why I say this. I'm not sure Jonah was real excited about going to Nineveh. And when God told Jonah the second time, go to Nineveh, he probably wished he would tell him to go somewhere else and do something else. But he's learned his lesson. And in verse 3, the Bible says, so Jonah arose and went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Somebody has decided that the circumference of Nineveh was about 60 miles. And so that if you walked through the city, throughout the city, not through, but throughout the city, that it would take about 3 days. I'm sure it took Jonah at least that long. May have taken him longer because he's pausing along the way to preach, to proclaim the message that God has sent him to do. But he learned his lesson, and he goes to Nineveh. Verse 4 says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So he was in there for one day, walking around the city. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So his message is, repent or perish in 40 days. So the people of Nineveh believed. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. I've always found verse 5 to be interesting. Nineveh was a wicked city, an Assyrian city. The reason God sent Jonah to Nineveh is because of their wickedness. And yet, as the message is preached, and it seems like it's sort of an instantaneous response, as soon as the message is preached, repent or perish, you got 40 days, the people of Nineveh began to repent. Verse 6 says, "For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes." Now think about the response of Jonah to the command of God to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go. And the response of the people and the king of Nineveh, the wicked people, to the call of God to repent. Okay, God, I'll repent. Isn't that something? Boy, God's people, we should be quick to obey God, willing to obey God, thrilled to be used of God, whatever He calls us to do. Sometimes we're not. Verse 7, he, that is the king of Nineveh, caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh or through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Now, it mentions man and beast. It was a Persian custom to use animals in mourning ceremonies. I don't know what kind of ceremony they went through, but it was the sackcloth and ashes are indications of mourning, of turmoil, of distress. And in this case, it's an indication of repentance. And I know that because I want you to listen to verse 8 and what the king said. He said, "I want everybody to be in a state of mourning, put on sackcloth and ashes. Even the animals, nobody's going to eat, nobody's going to drink, even the animals." And then he said in verse 8, he said, "Let them turn everyone from his evil way." Now that's repentance, to turn from sin and to God. And the king said, "Turn from your evil way, turn from your sin and turn into God and stop the violence that is in their hands." And then verse 9, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not?" The king of Nineveh said, "Listen, we're going to be mournful. We're going to be in distress. We're going to be sorry for our sin." That's the mourning and the distress. "And then we're going to repent of our sin. We're going to turn away from our sin. And we're going to hope that God in His mercy, when He sees our repentance, will change His mind and not bring this terrible judgment that He said has coming upon the city." Verse 10. "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, that they repent." He saw that they were sorry because they demonstrated that by their works, by the sackcloth and ashes and the mourning ceremonies. He saw that they turned from their evil way by their repentance. And God repented of the evil that He had said He would do unto them, and He did it not. So the people of Nineveh repented. God changed His mind and said, "Okay, since you've repented, I will not bring this judgment upon you." God always hears the prayer of repentance. Whether it's from one of His children or from wicked, sinful people, because these were wicked, sinful people, He heard their prayer, He forgave their sin, and He stopped the judgment that was to come. Now, you would have thought that Jonah would have just been shouting praise the Lord and jumping up and down and saying glory, hallelujah, and all those kinds of things. And boy, they'd have had a big worship service and a big Thanksgiving time. But you know that's not what happened, don't you? Chapter 4, we'll get that 2 weeks from tonight and maybe finish the book of Jonah. Thank you all for coming. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed. Rachel, would you dismiss us, please?